Hearings are live.
Okay. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Public Service Commission. This is a work session on an MDU electric case, case number PU-16-666. Commissioners Fedorchak and Krasius are here with me, as well as at the table. Legal counsel Ilana Jeff-Kotsako and our head public utilities director, Patrick Fahn. I don't have any opening comments. Do either of you? And the reason I'm trying to move along quickly is because we have a 1:30 conflict, and so we're kind of a short time constraint here. Commissioner Fedorchak,
no opening
I believe
comments.
Now this would be Commissioner Krasius's portfolio. I don't know if you're still providing some leadership on it since you had the case.
I thought I'd just finish it off.
I agree.
So however you guys have worked that. Okay. But
we just worked it out.
So we're quick.
All right. So do you want me to get started then?
Did you have any opening comments?
No opening comments. No.
Okay. Good. Okay. So I went through the proposed order, and I don't have any big comments on that. I thought we tended to just keep them really short and say we adopt the attached order, and this is a little bit different from that format, but.
That's correct. We would be revising it to be consistent with our format.
Okay. So.
But I haven't looked at it thoroughly till today, so I'm just getting into it.
Okay. Well, I just had a few questions on the actual agreement that I was hoping to talk through with staff, and obviously. This ideally would have been stuff I would have brought up in the hearing, but it's came to mind since then. And one of the downfalls of having such a short amount of time between a proposed settlement and the actual discussion about it is you don't really absorb some of the things. But I think these are all small matters that staff can help work through. So I'll just go through them. Most specifically, I wanted to look at the various riders, the ones that go away and the one that stays, and talk through how it affects rates. So the transmission rider, the projects that were in it are going into base rates. And then the just MISO-related costs are going to remain in there. So that rider goes the result of that should be a lower cost coming from that rider because it doesn't have the projects in it, correct? So customers should see a reduction in that rider.
I'm assuming.
Yep. Okay. The environmental tracker goes away. That gets absorbed into the base rates, and the generation tracker, the Heskett plant goes away, and the Lewis and Clark remains in that rider at a lower ROE. So help me understand how that will look for customers. Just a reduced amount in the generation rider compares to what they're paying today.
Well, the moving the one plant to base rates would, of course, reduce the rider.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lower ROE will reduce the rider as well for the remaining plant. And I know there was a discussion there about whether there would be refunds based on the lower ROE in the rider. And I think, MDU testified that there would be refunds there in addition to refunds on the interim rate. And we haven't seen that filing yet, that compliance filing. But
and so does the settlement say that ROE, the lower ROE, goes back to the beginning of this year or beginning of interim rates? Or what is the reduced ROE? What is that refund based on?
I can't remember if there was a date in that settlement or not.
It says
as of January. Well, that's when it stops the old rate. So
So that would be the date then. Mm-hmm. January 1st of 2020.
No, that doesn't true up to a refund.
But there's other changes.
Let's see.
You want me to make your copy of that? Or go get one?
Okay. The true-up adjustments applicable under the riders approved on an interim basis will be calculated based on a return of equity of 9.45%. This is number three. So approved on an interim basis. So that would go back to whenever we approved those, and then you'd base it on an ROE of 9.45% versus what they were earning.
So it seemed to me there was a retroactive.
Okay, so... So that would be what the refund would be based on. Yeah. Number three.
And what did it say, a date in there?
And is that... savings. Is that savings already accounted for?
What do you mean accounted for where?
In the reduction of the revenue requirement.
Oh, you mean in the rate case bottom line?
Right.
That, I don't know.
I think that's what I was getting at multiple times during the hearing, that they ultimately said, well, that's kind of under the, let's see here, other capital and O&M, other capital and O&M. So I think that's what the savings. Did you guys understand that to be the same? Or did you two understand that to be there?
I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer. I'd have to stop and go back, read it from the beginning, and then read my notes and see if I could had the answer in there somewhere.
Okay. Well, I would like to have
but we can ask,
complete clarity on that.
We can ask for a written statement from...
Okay.
Parties
on how that's calculated. Mm-hmm. Just I think that's important to be able to communicate effectively what's the net result of this and how it affects customers. Just to have a clear way to communicate that.
So the company just has heard this. What is there some reason why Victor or someone isn't in here?
They can choose to come or not come.
They're listening. I mean, they're listening.
They're
in the
obviously
office.
Listening. So, but you can ask them.
So you're
going to
communicate to make sure that we get the same response or response to the same question from them, just in case they have different opinions.
Yes, or a letter that says, "Here's what we all three think."
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
Are you a generation writer now?
Yes. Right. Yeah. Pretty much. Do you go? Well, I have more writer stuff.
Well, you were on such a good roll there, but I wasn't quite ready to move on from the environmental rider.
Okay, go ahead. No, I think
so
generation rider's
when
clear.
You said, I understood you to say something like eliminated the environmental rider. It's those things are coming off the rider and going into the rates, but we're not eliminating that option. If there would be some new environmental thing necessary, it would be there to go on as a rider.
I was going to clarify that. All the riders stay. It's the dollars you're asking people to pay that will either be in the rider or moved.
And then is your understanding that those riders stay on the bills with a zero next to them, or do they just go away until there's a cost added?
That one I don't have an understanding on. I don't know.
I will say
question
this.
Question two.
I'm one of my own that doesn't use electricity some months. I don't think the riders are listed on there.
Okay.
So I think that they don't show up if it's zero.
Okay.
But I'm going from memory now, so I don't put too much into that.
Is their bills that hard to know?
So is someone going to... Okay, that's another question then we should have them provide. Are you keeping a list, Patrick?
Right.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Now that there's two.
another question on riders, and that's the renewable rider. The settling parties agree that all existing wind, it's number five, facilities, Cedar Hills, Diamond Willow, and Thunder Spirit will recover through the renewable rider rate 55. Where are those being recovered today?
In the renewable rider.
Rider, yeah, I think.
Okay. You're sure of that?
No, we're not sure because somebody just nodded no.
Really? And that's, I'm looking back at what, I'm looking back at what they proposed during the, what they used as their presentation during, they being the company, during the public input meetings. And in the, under renewable rider, they said continues and expands to include all wind generation, including Thunder Spirit, Diamond Willow, and Cedar Hills. So I'm curious if those were being recovered in base rates and now they're going to the renewable. So that rider will increase.
We can ask specifically. I vaguely recall at least one wind farm that we were paying for before there was a rider. That
okay,
we
in base rates.
Out. Yeah.
Okay.
But just the use of the word expands there, sounds like they're putting the others in.
Then again, what I'm trying to get my head around is, you know, telling customers that you're getting a rate increase of X percent and that they're recovering, you know, $7 million versus 13 point whatever it was originally. Roughly seven, I think. But yet, I want to have a handle on what costs are being shuffled over to riders and collected in a different way, which really I don't think then I want to at least know in my mind that it's really $7.5 million that's they're still collecting. Whatever it is, you know, the if we're shuffling some costs over to riders, I'd like to know kind of what the net is for the rate increase. Does that make sense?
Do you want to know the individual, like an itemized, the amount the rider, the amount that the rider will be after the after approval of the settlement, and the amount that the base rate will be?
I'm not sure exactly what I want because I can't describe it.
And then the overall, in the end, the overall increase to customers.
Right. Yeah.
You just want the latter, or do you want it itemized as well?
I think itemized would be good.
I was going to say, get it itemized, and then if you need it, it's there, and if you don't need it, you skip to the bottom.
When we say itemized, you're talking about by riders or by projects within a rider?
Wouldn't hurt to have by project
right.
and a rider.
Yeah.
I would like it at least by riders.
Yes.
Yeah.
The difference between renewable and transmission or generation.
Right.
If someone wants it by projects, I don't know. I'm fine either way, I guess. But I don't really feel a need for that. But.
And all of this is not to nitpick the settlement agreement. I want to make that perfectly clear. I think the settlement agreement is very positive and has, goes a long, long way to addressing all the issues. I just want to understand how everything's being accounted for. So that's the nature of my questions. Okay. Did you either of you have more questions on the riders?
I do not.
Okay. Righty. The contract discount rates, company agrees that it will provide an update to the commission regarding each contract reflecting a discounted rate. What would those be? Can somebody give me an example? Do you know what those are?
I vaguely recall what some of them were in the past, but I think, I mean, it's possible. Is the refinery on one of them or used to be? Yeah. Okay. So,
okay.
You definitely want that information. You definitely need to have that continue to be reported.
And
so we know, so you know what ratepayers, if ratepayers are ever subsidizing those contracts.
Are those discounted rates affected by the rate increase, or do those stay? Those are separately negotiated and don't, they aren't,
so
this doesn't affect them.
Negotiated till it's time to negotiate.
Okay.
Again, but,
I can think of one example where the rate case would might affect the rates, and I think it probably does, but they have a credit on the bill for, it's the state of North Dakota. they have a credit on the bill for the backup system that they have. And so the rate for them, even though it's a contract, the rate would probably go up according to the rate case, but the I don't know what's going to happen to the credit they get.
Okay.
That might not be impacted at all.
So they'll file an update on those. And I would assume that advocacy staff looked at all of those and would have flagged any that they thought were unreasonable and dealt with them in the rate case.
I think the...
Or can't they get access to those discounted rates?
I'm not sure how much detail the staff would be getting on that, but I think they were just going to get the revenue delta, which would be, if they were on the regular rate, which they aren't, and here's their contract rate, the difference between those two is the delta, and they were going to be able to look at that and determine whether, you know, that should be scrutinized or looked at closer, get more detail.
All right. Would the grocery store be another, that grocery store we just approved, the economic development, is that a contract rate or is that a separate thing, not a contract rate?
I'm not familiar with it.
I think the economic rider.
Economic development.
The economic development rider maybe is separate. It's separate and approved by the commission.
You mean a tariff, not rider, tariff?
Or tariff, yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's... Then moving down on page 6 to the company agrees not to institute off-peak demand charges in this case. Does that mean? The company agrees not to institute off-peak demand charges in this case. Is that something that they were proposing originally and the settlement agreement negotiated that away? Is that something that they commonly do propose, do? What I just want to understand what that is better.
I would have to look for that one.
I believe the company proposed it and advocacy staff
nixed it.
Was opposed to it.
Okay. All right.
That much I understand.
Who were they proposing it for? Do you remember? And what the context of that was? Jerry would know this.
I
mean, she was here
several times, and then I feel like it made sense to me, but now I've kind of forgotten.
Yeah,
but
I may ask Jerry.
I had it marked down as one of the places I agreed with advocacy staff.
Okay. Let's see. All right.
And I just marked this as a positive in my own mind.
In your own mind, yeah. Okay, well, I think those were the bulk of my kind of little nitpicky questions. I don't think I had any others that needed to be clarified for me. And then, well, the one last thing on page 7, load research studies, that's for future class costs of service purposes. And that was something that the advocacy staff picked up as an improvement to have a more effective cost of service study. Okay.
Is there anything more to be discussed on revenue allocation? I don't really have any specific questions about this proposal, but because it comes up and I think was probably instrumental in drawing an intervener to the case, I just bring it up to make sure we're not just missing it. I think I'm satisfied with this allocation.
I am kind of curious how that changes how that changes their the way each class is contributing to the return. That's not reflected. Is that reflected, that analysis, any place in here? All right, look looking back at what they, because there was quite a discrepancy.
On page 5 of the settlement agreement, it shows the revenue allocation.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be compared to the application.
Oh, I see. Is that the rate of it? They're doing a 5.2% rate of return then? Is that right?
For residential.
How we read that?
5.2%, yes.
Or is that the increase, percentage increase in rates? Because look at 3.7% down below. Is that, that's the percentage increase.
Increase.
So where do you get the contribution to the rate of return from each class?
Which is one of the... That's a little bit tougher calculation, I think, but...
So when they came to us, they said, you know, the residential was only doing providing a 3.8% rate of return, small general, large general, the municipal lighting, you know. So there was this pretty big discrepancy between the different rate classes. And I want to see if we're closing those gaps with this. I would assume that we are, but...
I think you have this... Tim, do you hand it out for the public input sessions?
Yep, that's what I'm looking at right now.
So on the proposed increase by class rates,
mm-hmm.
it has the current return. And so like I'm looking at residential was 3.8%. So, and this is going up 5.2% on page 5 of the settlement. So that tells me it's making it, it would be tightening it. It's
that's not the return, though. This isn't their return. That's their increase, percentage increase, rate increase.
Right, but if it was at 3.8% and it's going up by more than the 3.7, that tells me that
it'll
the
be
lower one
it.
Would be inching closer. I don't know by how much. If it was going up less, one of the other classes going up less tells me there's this decrease. And so it is does appear to be a tightening, but I don't know how to calculate.
Well, in addition to, if you look at page 5 on the settlement, the overall increase is 3.7%. You can see the, for example, residential service increases mm-hmm. greater than that.
Right.
And so, and others are less than that. And so that gives an idea that they are moving residential more toward, or giving a residential a higher, greater increase and probably moving more toward cost than, or what they show as cost on their mm-hmm. study.
Would that be, we could get, have them rerun those numbers, though. That's something they could provide.
As a contribution to the
yeah.
return now after this?
Yep. Under the settlement?
Yep. Is that something you
would
like to see?
Yeah, I would.
I thought I saw it, but I could just be mistaken. I mean, maybe it's already in the record, but we'll ask.
Well, unless it's in Nicole's presentation from the other day. I don't recall it, but...
We'll ask for it on the list.
Okay. All right. Well, otherwise, I mean, the advocacy staff really did dig in and go through a pretty in-depth review of the expenses, the depreciation, the employee compensation plans, a whole bunch of various elements of the company's business. AARP brought in different issues that also were addressed in this final settlement. They reduced the revenues by $6 million, nearly. And so, and then they changed the rate design and softened the dependence on the basic service charge. So I think all of those are very positive, and I'm ready to support this after seeing some of these additional information that's filed that I think will help me better communicate exactly what's being done here. But I think all in all, it's a good settlement that addresses all the key issues, and I'd like to move forward with it. I don't know where my colleagues are.
Well, you've asked for a couple of the same things that I was going to ask for and covered everything that I was going to ask for. You've asked for a couple of additional things that I frankly hadn't thought of, but that are good requests and good information to have as part of closing this case. But I think I feel overall similar to you.
I concur.
Okay. Well, then I don't know that we need another work session. Why don't we get that information, work on a revised order, and then we can circulate all that and take a see if we can add it to the agenda, or we can schedule another work session after we receive that information if need be.
I think if the information we've requested is as clear and concise as I would imagine it to be, and if it says, you know, kind of what I think it's going to say, just confirming, I would be ready to just move forward and have it on, but, you know, mm-hmm. just would want to request, you know, to hold on to the ability to request a work session if it doesn't look like what I'm expecting.
Okay, very good. So depending on how all that goes, we can get it scheduled on the next meeting or the meeting after, seeing how all this information comes together. Okay.
Sounds well, good.
With that, I don't have anything else, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else?
Nothing else for me.
We are finished. Right on schedule.